This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday, the 11th of July. Yes, yes. Ah, yes. It's you know what? I was saying to Poppy when I came in this morning. Some people are winter people. They like being in winter. They actually enjoy the cold. They like they prefer it to the hot. For example, you know, think for some of those winter people, there's nothing worse than that sweaty summer feeling. They don't like wearing skimpy summer clothes. They like the layers. They like to dress all glamorous and European, I suppose. They like sitting at the fire or snuggling up in bed. They like warm food. They like that. They like winter. They love a cup of coffee first thing in the morning. It's steaming. Then you get those people like me who are summer people. I said to Sia, didn't I say this to you in London? That I'm so proud of my ancestors for leaving.
For leaving. Oh, yes.
I really am.
That is such a good point.
I really am. I'm so happy that they came here because I would have been a miserable son of a bitch. And I mean, I have my miserable moments. Everybody does. But by and large, I am very, very happy that I don't live in an Arctic climate. And I know it's hot there now and blah, blah, blah. But they have, you know, a couple of weeks maybe if they're lucky. Most of our year is warm. And then we have a week like last week, which we missed out on because we were away.
Yo, you guys
are lucky. Poppy
was
telling me it was ass paralyzingly brass monkeys cold.
Ass paralyzingly.
Bad-ass.
Yeah. Yes.
This is like -2 in some places, -6 even.
I heard there was snow on the mountains in the Cape. A friend of mine sent me.
Huh? A lot of snow.
Yeah, a friend of mine sent me pictures of her like playing in the snow. Like if you were in the Alps or in, you know, the Himalayas.
And it was snow that you could drive to in like a small car. Yes. There was no hiking involved. There was no long journeys. It was like, I'm going to go play snow right now.
Well, isn't that interesting? Because it means it must have fallen in some low-lying areas too, which is quite something. Anyway, it's look, I mean, you know, winter, you expect these things, but I'm not for it, hey. I don't like it.
Like yeah, winter isn't my zhuzh at all either.
No, I like waking up in the morning and not being afraid to put my leg out of the bed. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Winter's cool when you get to stay at home. I think having to get up and be productive and it's not cool.
Not even, huh?
Really?
Like it. No, I like it to be warm. There's just never the perfect optimal setting for me, somewhere around 25 to 30 degrees. I'm functioning on all cylinders.
Guarantee if you moved to a climate with that, you would get pissed off, bored, and angry.
I don't know, hey.
You would, because we need contrast
enough. I know people who live on islands. I know people who live in the equatorial regions. They seem to me to be very happy people.
Tom Hanks wasn't. Look at him. He lost his mind.
Yeah, but that was because he was on his own.
I don't think you can.
You can't look at that factor in its... In its
I really think you can.
Yeah, come on. There are a lot of factors there.
Yep.
Tom Hanks stayed on an island alone, was friends with a who? A coconut or a ball or something?
Basketball. He also started out with Gareth, oh, I hate winter. Now look at him. He grew his hair and lost his mind.
Listen, did you guys also spend the whole day yesterday thinking about what Mweletsi and Becky had to say yesterday?
Yeah.
Now...
And it actually, like you were saying afterwards, like if you think about what he's saying, a lot of it does make sense. You just need the time to just think about it. Well, and also you need to be smart as well.
Like, yeah, the process is that, you know, so many people decide ahead of time, this is how I'm going to feel about something. And then when someone has a really good argument against that position, they get angry with the person. And they decide the person is an ignoramus. Instead of that the person's ideas are shit. Now, you're allowed to tell anyone on earth their ideas are shit. That's not disrespectful. It's not you being a douchebag. If you tell someone your ideas are shit, that means you've gone to the trouble, hopefully, of looking at the idea, comparing it with reality, figuring out whether or not it's useful, and dispensing with all the pleasantries around it. You know, a lot of people are very polite with each other for no good reason, which is just as bad as being a horrible liar. It really is. If you're polite for all the wrong reasons, if you're polite just to make someone feel better, In very many circumstances, you're doing them more harm than good. But if you listen to what Moeletsi Mbeki had to say about how we could fix the country, I mean, the guy, he didn't just sit here and say, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. He said, here's how we make it better. And there is no, zero political will to make it better. And he explained that too. He said, why would the guys who are so busy gorging themselves at the trough bother to make South Africa a better place for the rest of us? There's no upshot for them.
Well, this, yeah, it's all downshot. But isn't it amazing what you can come up with when you don't have any political agenda, any business interest, or any ego? All he was saying yesterday was for the good of what this country could be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so rare to have a mind like that that is eloquent on top of that, because everybody's got some sort of vested interest in this country. What he was saying about steel, if you're in the steel mining industry, you've got no interest in processing that kind of stuff. You're happy that it gets exported because it just means your product will be taken out quicker.
Right. You want people to buy your product. Isn't that number one?
So the main big picture is never a part of the goal.
But do yourself a favor. You know, this one guy this morning sent a tweet or something. He said, Moeletsi Mbeki is a moron.
Yeah.
Or something. So I said to him, did you listen to the interview or was it too hard for you? Because you can guarantee that guy didn't listen to a damn word. And that makes me sad because he's choosing to be willfully ignorant.
Mm. Those are two words you don't want describing you in life. Yeah.
Willfully ignorant. In a world where there's so much information, I've chosen to be a moron.
But I will admit, though, he's difficult to listen to. As someone who's followed his career, I've often found him counter-revolutionary. And like you said, yesterday I was sitting and I was like, I actually want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's difficult, but he's telling us hard truths. And like Yanyan was saying the other day, is that we feel things before we actually know the facts.
Yeah.
And yesterday was completely factual for me and practical at that.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah. I mean, you're doing an MBA. All of that made economic sense.
Yes. I don't think it would if I wasn't. But that's also the scary thing.
Well, exactly. You know, the other thing that, and we'll get to Football World Cup and everything else in a second, and Gord is here, and it's going to be a fun Wednesday morning. We've got lots of cool stuff lined up for you today. But before we get into any of that, it's worth also remarking that, you know, someone like him, and he sounds, by the way, just like Thabo Mbeki.
Yes.
I love it.
Sounds just
I
like
wanted him. To ask about that.
And he
that.
Even does the whole and so on and so forth and stuff like that.
Do you
he
think their father quicker. Was like that? Yeah, thank goodness.
Yeah, he's a little bit quick. But they are so similar, huh?
Yeah.
Mm. And their father obviously sounded a lot like that too.
Yeah.
Anyway, what
you
an interesting
you imagine the conversations.
Please listen to it. If you didn't hear that interview, you're wasting your time.
But the conversations that them as brothers must have, being privy to so much information in this country.
Mm. Well, the word on the streets is that they don't really get along.
They don't.
They don't.
You can kind of understand that. Yeah. They're both very intellectual people, probably have very high interesting opinions about each other and things.
Oh, yes.
Well, and also the times in which they grew up and what they've experienced.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they listen, I'd love to be a fly on the wall when the two of them are sitting together, if they ever do. Some brothers just don't get along. Some,
or maybe they just waste all their time talking about how cuck Bafana Bafana is.
Maybe they have the most boring conversations you could possibly imagine. You never know. All right. So France, Belgium, huh?
Kind of felt that France always had it.
You did, but you said yesterday you thought Belgium might take it.
Yeah, I was talking myself into some enthusiasm. France has just got such a great team of scoring ability and. They just seem to have like an extra gear. There's always one team that merges with like an extra gear.
Yeah.
In 1998, it was France again when Zidane got the ball and everyone just like stared at him because they were in awe of him.
Yeah.
I was belged about Belgium. I wanted them to win. I was looking at it like when they decided to throw everything forward, having conceded the goal, and I was just looking at like them with basically two centre backs on the halfway line and thinking like, Griezmann and Mbappe are chilling there. Like, this is not a tactic that is sustainable.
No.
Well, it's all with Germany. You have to try that and then end up losing 2-0 to Korea.
Yeah, and like a throw of the dice like no other.
What a World Cup, though. Full of upsets, full of unpredictability. I mean, in some respect, all World Cups are, but this one is really, it's very different. All the big teams that you would have thought, all the previous winners of World Cups, with the exception of France.
Yeah, Germany, gone. Spain, Brazil. Yeah,
all gone.
Portugal.
So, I mean, Croatia.
Knocked on the ass.
Who thought Croatia?
Greg, who's station manager here, he's a big football fan. He loves football. He listens to a whole bunch of podcasts. He got me onto this podcast. I'm going to listen to a few more before I share it with you. But these guys have this really tight ship. They've got a core base of people, and they're phoning experts around the world. So yesterday at gym, I listened to episode one of this World Cup podcast where they were reviewing Group A.
Yeah.
And they said, you know what? It's an absolute shame that Russia are going to this tournament, probably the worst team in living memory. They are so terrible. They haven't got a chance in hell. They're going to lose to Saudi Arabia. They're going to be a laughing stock. They're going to be even worse than South Africa in 2010. And these guys went on with all these different facts, how they can't get the ball into the box. They've got no idea who the team is.
Yeah.
Their coach is this egomaniac who can't discipline players. And it's just funny how listening to that, and that was what the experts were saying. And I know that I still believe that game against Spain was fixed, but the score were decent.
Maybe you shouldn't carry on listening to this podcast.
I always wonder.
But it's funny when you listen to things, because I never listen to things retrospectively like that. Which is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you were like, you went back and listened to the pre-group.
I went back in time.
Yeah, but I mean, I always wonder about match-fixing stuff, because we know, especially because of cricket, that it does happen and it can happen. It's not just like a conspiracy theory like Flat Earth, but how many people do you need to keep shtum to like get some of the best footballers in the world and the coaches and everyone to kind of like agree or be coerced into doing things differently than just going out there and giving your best.
Well, Gord, to give you just a sort of baseline there, you got to find your Hansi, and then once you find your Hansi, Hansi then finds his Herschel, and then you get like a couple of things like that. Before you know it, you've got this pivotal core group who then decide everything. So you get fringe players who are literally foot soldiers in any kind of sport. They'll either just be there to tackle or just there to throw a ball.
And you get your Herschel.
And then before you know it, you've got a game plan that's different.
Yeah, and I suppose, I mean, to that point, you probably only need a bit of fuckery from like two or three key people to throw the whole thing.
Sure. Or the coach just basically says, Vlad's going to bomb Spain. Or, you know. Or you guys get a nuclear power in your own home. I mean, who knows?
Or you just got it was
out of character.
Nuclear power in your own home.
It was out of character that a team with so much going for it would be so aimless against a team that does not have ability to score goals in pressure situations.
Yeah. But then, I agree with that. But on this, by the same token, you've also got playing out of their socks.
Can I talk about team? Can I just bring something up? It was really nice that we could rely on you the whole of last week, motherfucker.
Dude, I was mad.
While Sia and I were away, and we're like speaking to Gord the week before, and we're like, oh, Gord, it's going to be really nice when you're in next week with Ben and Poppy.
This.
They're going to need your help. Dude, and what does he do?
Gone!
He goes to ground for an entire week. We don't hear a fucking cricket from him.
I can prove that I was also not at work, in case. But I was man flu.
What did you have?
Man flu.
I've dragged my carcass in here sometimes.
I've also seen you not come in because you're sick. Whoa. I was down with man flu of note. And I would have been of note. And I came in on the first day and did the show.
You said... I remember your exact words.
I was very excited.
Hold on. No. I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun the whole week. I'm going to be so amped or whatever it was that you said Monday.
I was.
No good.
I came in on Monday.
No good. I'm calling in from London an hour earlier. I'm like, Ben, how are you going
over there? Not at home, dying of man flu, wishing you were dead.
I'm saying, Ben... How's it going over there? No Gord. Poppy, how's Gord? No Gord.
I gargled snot for a week.
Wednesday.
Official.
Thursday. Yeah,
that's probably why you were sick, Gord.
Ben says to me Thursday morning, oh, no, dude, Gord's coming in tomorrow. I thought, oh, nice.
Ben told me not to. On the last 2 days, I was like, dude, I'm going to drag myself in. Don't worry, I will be there. And Ben's like, Gord, the thing you need most when you're in this way is sleep. Don't compromise your health. Just get that sleep, buddy.
Meanwhile, he was laughing at you the whole time.
Well,
we
did a whole feature on man flu and how people must just chill out about that. But Gord, we actually did announce that we put you down on Friday. I didn't play the last post because I couldn't find the clip, but we essentially announced that you were put down.
Bro, if you could have like put me down on horse. Wednesday, I would have been singing a song of thanks with tears in my eyes while you did.
Well, we kind of announced it. I mean, there was a few messages.
I would have hummed Amazing Grace through the muffling pillow. Death. So.
I mean, there were a couple of messages. Gussie Tops were upset they lost a potential client at some stage.
But otherwise, we all moved on. Okay, here, well, you are.
On a, with a note of some seriousness, I do apologize, but I was properly sick.
All right, it's nice to know who we can rely on. In a zombie apocalypse, guess who's not on my team anymore?
Good, it's good that your friends have your back when you go through a trauma. Thanks, dude.
Trauma. Do me a favor. There was no threat of death.
But you want a person who's under vague threat of death, partially dying in your studio in the morning.
Yes.
Who wants to hear a sick person bark and snot and cough and wheeze?
I wheeze when I'm fine. It would have showed a sense of solidarity. It would have been a powerful statement of intent.
I did that on Monday.
Also,
already,
if he died, you would have been a hero.
Also, I wouldn't mind dying on air. That would be pretty rock and roll.
Best place to
die. Dying on the front lines of the battlefield.
But then Friday, you know, we had a busy day. I don't know where we're going to fit in your dying.
Okay, well, again, I do apologize, but it was unavoidable. I couldn't have come in, and I did apologize to you, Ben, so you're insensitive for being a dick about it.
Gordon, I didn't bring this up.
Well, I was going to apologize for it anyway, but like I said, I was that man down.
It's all right.
Godlings.
We all have a bad week. I think I've ever missed a week because I've been sick. A whole week. I've been sick for a day.
I keep saying I was here on Monday, and it was okay. It was kind of by the end of the day on Monday when I left work early that I was like, wow, this is something serious. This isn't just
whole
a sniffle.
Week.
4 days.
Princess.
Fuck off.
Shame. What did you take? Did you take a lot of medicine?
I took Carenzas and AC200s and Red Lemon.
Carenzas up his bum at one stage. You needed to get them in so fast.
Yeah,
I did. Suppository Carenzas.
Who are you guys? So insensitive.
I wanted to pray for death, but I couldn't get the words out.
Here's this morning's health bulletin. Do you want this morning's health bulletin? Anyone interested?
Can't wait.
Yes.
Sia reckons he's getting sick. This is the breaking news Sia. This morning. Yeah.
I can feel it coming in the air.
No, we didn't need a song on top of that.
Although Phil Collins does make me sick, so that would work. But I would never wish illness upon anybody, but it would be fucking ironic and hysterical if you from tomorrow are man down for the rest of for a week.
Knock on wood. No,
it doesn't happen.
Like Gareth's hair.
It doesn't happen.
His immune system is invincible.
Have I ever missed more than a day or two in a row because of illness? No.
Gareth, we don't keep track of these things.
I can guarantee it. Go back in the records.
Oh, the records.
We always just try and move on.
Excuse me, let me just go to our filing department
go
and
back in the
find
record.
It there.
He says having buggered off overseas for literally a week, like now.
Yeah. A bit longer.
But I think it's different with us because we know just make it through these 3 hours and you can go back and sleep, for example. But I don't know.
Who's us you're referring to?
People in general in this here studio. Thank you.
All right. From Quentin. God has risen from the dead. Praise the Lord.
Thanks, Quentin.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Someone says, hey, guys, hope you're well. It's been a week since I came to India, and I'm so behind on podcasts. At least I always have something to listen to with your show.
See, did you read the operative term there? Hope you're well.
Yes.
Thank you for the hope.
Good point. Well put. Very, very nice. By the way, if you haven't ever heard it before, you've got to listen to Timothy Maurice's Brain and Brand show, which is one of our favorite shows here on CliffCentral.com. Every week, Timothy delves into what it is that makes us behave the way we do around brands, consumer behavior, the marketplace, how we think about things, how we think about each other. It's a fascinating show. I reckon one of the best and worth a listen. What else have we got coming up today? Let me just see what we've got here. Oh, we're going to replay an interview we did with Mr. Gay SA, Craig Maggs, which was, this is now a long time ago, in 2015. But I saw Casper had, not so long ago, last week or the week before, he had the new Mr. Gay SA on. Did you see that?
The Gay Magazine
That's
person.
Right. That's right.
I love that there's a Mr. Gay, and every country has one.
Yes.
Yeah. When I grow up, I'm not just going to be gay. I'm going to be Mr. Gay. Are you gay? Man, I'm Mr. Gay. And officially show your card like Mr. Gay.
Oh, by the way, when we went to Pride in London, and Sia was really, he was kind of apprehensive about the whole thing. I don't know if he was that excited. And then when we got into the spirit of things, I said to him, Sia, you have to buy a pride whistle. So he was like, no, I don't know.
What is a pride whistle?
I don't know if I want a pride whistle. Yeah. They were selling them at these stalls near the march. Is that so tomorrow? You can go, brr,
brr, brr, brr, brr, brr, while you rave.
Exactly.
Yes.
So I bought Sia a pride whistle eventually, and he put it around his neck. It had the pride flag colors. As a string, and then this whistle, and he was blowing it like a wild man.
That's what you got to do at Pride. You got to blow it properly.
That was pretty easy.
I think that
was a tap in sports terms.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
There.
That was open goal. I think that there should be a Mr. for everything. Like, I am officially Mr. Hungry South Africa 2018.
Yes,
like, I'm Mr. Fantastic in the sack. Well, come on, buddy. I mean, everyone thinks they're good in the sack. No, hang on. You get my certificate out.
And
unfold.
There was a poll.
There was a
there was a survey.
There's always some sort of survey.
Who do you always rail against? The coffee awards.
Yeah, like Truth Coffee, which I think is the epitome of dickheadry in the world.
God,
in Cape
the best
Town.
Coffee shop in the whole
allegedly,
world.
In my opinion, so no one sues me. I personally think it's the biggest dickhead experience in the world. Everything about it sucks. But every
truth,
year
Gordon,
they announce that
wrong?
They are voted best coffee shop in the world, and I'm like, when are these coffee shop elections? Because there's a fucking place 100 meters down the road called Haas, which is a nicer place, does better coffee. Everything about it is more considered. It's not steampunk.
I started him off. I just threw a little piece of meat into the cage.
That's what happens. That's how you get meat. You throw meat into my cage. But in seriousness, you get brands that claim voted best something. It's like, but I mean, by who?
Can I just say that you're sounding really much better?
Thank you, Gareth. I do feel a lot better.
Gordon, it sounds like you took a week off last week. You sound really rested.
I am rejuvenated.
All right, so you get annoyed, and I don't blame you.
Brands in general, they're not just Truth Coffee, because I personally hate them.
I know. They hold some like internal staff poll, and then they declare themselves the victors of the world, you know.
Also, you get brands like small little specialized universities, business marketing school, whatever. They'll be like, voted in the top 34 business schools in South Africa. Like, so you came 34th.
Right.
Voted in the top 7. Yeah. Like, in other words,
guys,
7.
You know what we should do? We should have our own awards. I think we should do that. We should have Cliff Central Awards.
Why not?
And we should. Because we're an authority. We're a cross-section of people here. Look at the diversity in the studio.
Mm.
From age, gender.
Mr. Hungry.
We can really throw the dice at quite a few things here.
And we can vote amongst us and then just say voted best in the world for anything.
But the thing is, like, we vote shit things, like the best pizza place. We find some moth-eaten dreadful place in like Sunning Hill and say this is voted by panel experts.
We give them a sticker to put up on their door that says that they were our winner,
best in the world.
Best in the world.
Best janitor in the world 2018.
Let's borrow from Trump here. He's the master of marketing, right? Let's call it the greatest, the world's greatest.
Yes. Most terrific.
The greatest awards in the world.
That's what we call it.
Fuck, I say we've now vote this the best award ceremony in the world. Does everyone vote in favor of this being
favor?
The best? Everyone's hands are up.
Five out of five people have awarded this the best in the world.
100%
of
people.
This is probably what happened.
100% of people voted our awards the most valuable award you can win in the world.
I'm going to have that dude who made those brilliant Rapture Proof stickers for us.
Oak's a champ. I can't remember his name, but he's a champion.
I'm
going
to ask him to make us a ton of stickers that say greatest in the world.
Gareth Cliff Show Awards.
You always say that, dude.
Gareth Cliff Show Awards.
These guys are the greatest in whatever they do.
Yes.
It's one generic sticker.
One generic sticker. These guys are the greatest in the whole world at what they do.
And it's like that movie Talladega Nights where it's like, Highlander, it won the Academy Award. For what did it win the Academy? For best movie ever.
And then it must just say like hashtag GCS awards or whatever in the corner. And it must look very official. It must have like a gold star or a something. And then people will just hand them out. Everywhere we all go, we just hand them out to everybody.
We've got to slap it on.
Nah, there could be 10 pizzerias with the same award. It won't make any difference because nobody looks at that.
Just for a quick one, the guy's name was Gary McLean, and he hooked
us up
those stickers. He's a champion listener.
Yeah, thank you, Gary.
Yeah, all you need to do is put an asterisk after a term, and that asterisk will have a tiny note at the bottom in the smallest print.
Never even explain.
That's the thing. You don't explain. You just go, voted best coffee shop in the world for 7. And I like coffee. And especially when living in Cape Town, you know, there's a lot of coffee
shops.
Gord's
going to petrol bomb this place at some stage.
I hate them. And steampunk was done 10 years ago.
What happened? Have you been there? Have you had coffee?
Gord, were you interchanged with their barista?
Show us on the coffee mug where they touched you.
First of all, it's where they manufacture Cape Town dickheads, right? They just come into the universe through a portal.
What is this, Westworld?
Yeah, yeah, that's where they have a factory.
Let him talk. He's on a roll.
Make Cape Town dickheads. They sit there and do nothing except, like, what do you do for a living? I'm a flautist. No, you're not. You're a fucking waiter. But the place is steampunk, which was dumb when it was a thing 15 years ago. It's extra dumb now. You can't order food. So you sit down. They have like a breakfast menu that ends at a certain time, then like an hour and a half of no food, then a lunch menu. So you arrive. They bring you a menu. 20 minutes later, you're begging for a waiter. This has happened to me 3 times that I have been unable to eat because on 2 occasions they've brought me a menu, taken so long to then come take my order that I'm no longer able to order. I'm like, why did you bring me this menu? They're like, 25 minutes ago when we brought it for you, it was still, you could still have breakfast.
Yes.
So you can wait an hour and a half. Then they bring you coffee and they don't just refuse you because they've got a thing they're saying, we're coffee purists, our coffee is best enjoyed without sugar. But you can't ask for it if you want sweetener or sugar, but they shame you. They have like a... You mean, sir, that you want sugar in your coffee? We don't approve of that here. And you get glared at by the dickheads with their sailor tattoos and their twirly moustaches and their fucking clogs. Ooh. And their little pipes that they're smoking fair trade tobacco through.
Wow, yeah. we're out of the starting gate.
But their owners voted them best coffee shop. Yeah. And I'm like, I like coffee, so when do I get to vote in the next coffee elections and choose someone else?
Apparently there's a chick on Instagram who gives sticker awards for good boys, all ironic. That's from Michelle.
That's hilarious.
Quentin makes the point that like American sport, the NFL champions are the world champions.
Straight up.
Which country did they compete against?
They like, usually with those sports, I don't know if NFL, but certainly in baseball and ice hockey, they invite like 3 Canadian teams and 1 Japanese team to also be in the World Series.
Right. He sounded terrible on Monday, so please leave Gord alone.
Oh, thank you. And also, that's kind of mean.
That's kind of mean. I thought he was fine on Monday. Giving us some.
I appreciate the sentiment in that backhanded compliment. Thank you.
Shook.
Wow.
Shook. Now, someone wrote me an email yesterday. Says, if Poppy uses the word shook once more, I'm going to walk into the studio and strangle her. That's what someone said.
I would like to meet you, so you are welcome to come to studio.
Please don't say that. I don't want someone strangling
you. Sounds like that individual was shook by Poppy.
Okay.
Just replace shook with shooketh.
All right, listen, it is time to check in on the 5 things you need to know today. Let's go. Poppy, you want to start? Shall I start? You go for it.
Well, I just need to update you. All 12 boys have been saved. Yes. And they're coach.
Very, very good news.
And Elon Musk actually made a trip to Thailand.
Isn't that great?
He's a great guy.
So I saved these. Can I just ask a stupid question as someone who wasn't paying attention to the news last week?
Talk to us.
How did they get in there in the first place?
So there's a long story. Apparently, this is part of like tradition initiation kind of vibes. So they were after soccer practice, apparently, just kind of walking around because people do this. You walk around the caves, and then I think it started raining.
Yeah.
And then they kept sort of getting trapped in the cave. So every time, you know, the water would rise. They would go further and further into the cave, and then eventually they were basically stuck in this place where they couldn't get any help and get out. So that's what happened.
So when it rains in Thailand, it rains.
It's monsoon.
As in, like, the clouds just dive. It's just the cloud goes down and just goes.
Yeah, an ocean floats out of its beach and then moves over a piece of land and falls down again.
That's it.
It's horrible. But I'm glad they got them out. And so what did Elon Musk do? He developed some submarine.
He contributed a submarine that was going to help them, but they didn't want his help.
Obviously, you contribute a submarine. Like, guys, you can use a submarine we've been developing in the laboratory.
We'll
pay for some, you know, aid, or we'll send in, like, some, I don't know what, just some shit that can
warm
be helpful.
No, or yeah, just, like, make some practical signs outside the cave saying, do not enter.
It'll work next time.
Well, apparently it's going to be a tourist attraction now.
Obviously.
You get the Kango caves and the No-Go caves, eh, Gord?
Listen, please, give me a favor. Don't go and hang around in caves, okay? This is stupid. This is a very bad idea.
Well, they have some that are like designed for people to go see the stalagmites and the stalactites, but don't go digging around in a cave that's just a hole in the rocks.
But I mean, if that was the mindset, then Goonies never would have happened.
That's true. So, and we would have been sad without Goonies. Yes. All right, but then they didn't want Elon's help anyway. He really is Iron Man, huh?
He is. Well, he's trying to be.
I like him.
I think he's succeeded pretty much.
I like him.
Although they
like
did, they did send Robert Downey Jr. before the first Iron Man movie to go and spend a week with him because so Iron Man was basically trying to be Elon Musk,
yeah,
as opposed to the other way around.
Oh, they actually spent time together.
Robert Downey Jr. went and shadowed him for a week, and basically his character was meant to be a bombastic superhero version of Elon Musk.
Huh?
Yeah. So that's his Stark Industries. Obviously, yeah, it existed in the comic already, but it was like old school, and like the principal was just a rich oak who invents stuff. But to make it like modern and relatable, yeah.
I like it.
Did you see, I'm sure a lot of us will be happy in here, myself excluded, that sex addiction is now classified as a mental health disorder.
So first of all, why would that exclude you as someone who's happy?
Because it excludes me, guys.
Are you saying you do have a sex addiction?
How many women do you know that are that have sex addiction problems, firstly?
All of them. They're just hiding it.
Oh.
So it's been classified as a mental health disorder by the WHO, World Health Organization. And now doctors and nurses and people that treat this can actually diagnose people with sex addiction.
But it's been a thing, though. Like, no, they treat people in addiction facilities.
They treat them, but it's never been officially a thing. So we used to laugh at, like, Tiger when he said, guys, I've got a sex addiction. David Duchovny also came out at some point.
Yes, I remember that.
Sex addiction. It's a condition. And we were like, bah!
Even my homie Terry Crews came out and talked about how he had to work to overcome his porn addiction, which almost like ruined his family, etc., etc., etc.
Same with Chris Rock, he had a porn addiction.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's not blur the lines. Sex addiction, porn addiction. I mean, I can totally see how both could be addictions, but here's what I'm worried about. And we don't have to get into this now. We can talk about it a little later. But are we eventually going to diagnose everything as some kind of mental health issue? And by the way, I'm very open to the idea of mental health, the category being expanded, because I think we all suffer from some small amount of it somewhere. There's no one who's perfectly mentally healthy. It's like there's no one who's 100% physically healthy.
Speak for all the damn self about the mental health thing.
Well, you may be good, but you're certainly not physically healthy. No. I mean, last week, look at you.
No, of course not. But you're saying anything can be a problem. Anything can be diagnosed.
Yeah,
a problem.
I'm just getting worried we're getting to a point now where eventually we're all going to be suffering from something that needs a pill that is playing right into the hands of the pharmaceutical industry, that we're all going to be suffering from something that, oh, I need to take 2 days off work because I've got a sex addiction, or I've got to go and spend...
That would be a cool 2 days, though.
That would be a ballsy request at HR, huh?
I've got to go and spend a week...
Hi, Sharon, I've got a sex addiction. I'm going to take 2 days off.
I'm going to go and spend a week in rehab.
Take you to a computer home.
I'm addicted to porn. I mean, come on, that's just, you know... We can't become so ridiculous about these things that everybody is either suffering from something... or wants to be seen to be suffering.
Sure, but on the other hand, you can say, like, okay, for an oak who just wanks too much and, you know, like, stop it a bit. That's one thing. But I just read Russell Brand's book, Recovery. I really enjoy Russell Brand, even though I know a lot of people think he's a Ponzi wanker, but I really enjoy him. And his last few books have been great. And his book, Recovery, is just basically like a personal account of his 12-step program. It's really interesting. And he defines an addiction to anything as... trying to deal with an internal problem using an external solution that you cannot control your intake of and that has made your life unmanageable. So if you can't stop gunning or jacking off to the point where it's harming the rest of your life and you're using that to try and solve a problem that internally that you can't solve, it would be an addiction or a destructive behavior pattern. Yes. Not just like, I dig porn too much. Mm. I should probably read more other books.
Tiger didn't have any of those problems, and he was still addicted to sex.
Yeah, but that was because he was competitive. Like, Tiger had to bang more than someone else.
But
that was his thing.
Know
it was all sport.
You don't know what problems Tiger's got. He's just winning at golf. I mean,
that's what I'm saying, is that if you can still be that successful and have a sex addiction, you've won.
Also,
life.
It gives you a more of a dopamine release. A good jitna.
You and your words.
Gunning and
jitna.
Scaring Sia. Sia is trembling
right.
Moving
next along to Rice. Rice and Listeriosis.
All right, everybody shut up and listen. This is important. A public service announcement about Rice and Listeriosis. Are you ready?
So Woolworths has recalled its frozen savory rice mix just as a precautionary measure because apparently it's been contaminated in a factory in Belgium with listeriosis.
Oh, no.
Yeah, your Belgians are back, hey?
Oh,
they're not losing matches. They're contributing to listeriosis. They've said that it's of critical importance that they let everyone know there's a recall and it's extremely serious. So please, if you buy the frozen savory rice mix from Woolies, do not consume.
At least it wasn't a total recall or they would have had to get Arnold Schwarzenegger to come and help with it. Really?
All right, very good.
That's it.
All right, there's lots of other news. We'll get to some more of it in a short while. But you know what? We can't squeeze everything in all at once at the same time early in the morning. It'll screw your brain.
Unless you've got a sex addiction, in which case you'll manage.
Well, that's true. People with a sex addiction manage
squeeze it
time.
All in, yeah.
They manage their time very effectively. All right, we got to look at the horrible world of cryptocurrencies.
Do we have to?
Well, we've got into this habit. We may
yeah,
as well.
But, we gave it a skip last week, and I can't say it. We lost an element of the show.
All right, Bitcoin trading at $6,347 and Ethereum at $434. That's what we've got. That's the truth. That's all you need to know.
I think we should replace the cryptocurrency update with the health update from Gord. Just constantly keep him up.
Yeah. Today, chipper conditions on the humor front with some mild aching in the fat ass knees. And
very good.
Respiratory systems are clear for the time being.
Hey, speaking of sex addiction, I got an email yesterday. Tell me if you think this is for real. From someone called Wendy, and the subject is Love to Deep Throat. And then it says, I am depressed, bored, and new in town. I'm in search of a person to show me around and have some fun. Desire to chill. Click the link to reply. Should I do it?
No,
because she's going to catfish you. She's
why
gonna...
do you get so many of these emails? Where are you searching that you're being cookied like this?
Because he's moderately successful, moderately well-known, and moderately good-looking.
I think I get spammed an average amount. I know people whose whole inbox is full of shit like that every week. They complain about it all the time. You know you have to go in. Do you ever go in and actually unsubscribe from lists and things?
Every time.
Yeah. It's a really good exercise to do. It makes you feel so clean afterwards.
Facebook does a thing that I was only like, I had no idea about, that was brought to my attention by a friend. But I mean, it affects women way worse because men are generally dickheads. But even me, like, there's a place where there's messages that Facebook has automatically filtered out for you because they can tell that it's bullshit. And it's pretty effective because you dig through 100 of them and you find like one that's actually a mate that was trying to reach you a year and a half ago.
Right.
But it's people like, oh, hey, how are you? You misspell HR letter U, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, want to start conversations with you about bullshit. It's like people in Pakistan messaging you about crap. And like, there's some creepy shit in there.
Yeah, and they actually put them into a separate category of messages. And you have to go in and find them.
I don't know that.
And then yes or no them.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how to do it. But you got to dig around. And then there's a whole bunch of messages Facebook has protected you from. And some of them is creepy shit.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to Ben. Ben, what is in the sport headlines this morning?
France beat Belgium in a crucial World Cup semi. Ashwin Villamsa breaks his silence, but in a rather dodgy way. Cristiano Ronaldo off to Juventus finally, and all the thrills from Wimbledon. Yeah, so that's it. France are the 2018 World Cup champions. That is quite
very
something.
Nicely done.
They look pretty good there. They were pedestrian during the group stages, but they went from strength to strength, eventually beating yesterday's Belgian team.
The Belgish.
1-0. It was, it was a tight game. I think both teams did show that it was a decent sort of final, and the French do win it. Of course, the World Cup does go on, just to mostly humour England, who will go through 120 minutes against Croatia, which will be a scrappy match, but Croatia will have the weight of the world on their shoulders, so you might get an extra sort of kick out of them. And then on Sunday, one of those teams will go and play France in a ceremonial match, which the French will then just win again. So that's it. That's the World Cup 2018. How exciting.
But also, wasn't there some controversy with the Croatian coach and one of the players or something?
Yeah, it's got to do with, you know, because Ukraine and Russia kind of, you know, likes to invade Ukraine a bit.
Annex some shit from time to time.
Yeah, so some of the players are, I think, originally from Ukraine and the whole region. So they've got like this sort of certain salute and celebration that they use. There's been a bit of skullduggery around that. But also there were some Croatians with some racist banners. which were then found by FIFA.
These Europeans with racist banners, surely not.
I know, Gord, I know. But hey, these didn't quite make the headlines. And now that the World Cup's over, I think we should just forget about it, because there's more pressing football news. And Cristiano Ronaldo is finally officially going to Juventus. He's going for a shit ton of money, as you would expect. And if you really break it down, which everyone loves to do, Ronaldo's 120 million euro contract is over 4 years, which basically breaks down to 1 euro a second.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So a second. 3,720 euros an hour.
He has to spend. He has to spend a lot to run out, doesn't he?
Look, we all love these numbers, but they don't really mean a whole bunch. The whole deal is that Ronaldo, where he is going in his career, is huge for football. This guy is massive. If you don't believe me, look at Juventus' share price. Mm-hmm. To tell you, suddenly they've got a better product. They've got a better product because of Ronaldo. And Ronaldo's going to help the Serie A. Now, the Serie A wasn't even shown on Supersport last year. Is it being shown on Supersport next season? You bet your ass it is.
I saw a thing, and I don't know if it was just bullshit fake news, but I saw a meme yesterday on football groups that I'm in that said Real Madrid's followers on Instagram went down by 60 million to about two-thirds of what they previously had after Ronaldo left.
Gord? Sentiment, yes. I don't know about the exact numbers. It seems quite... Yeah, maybe. Who knows? But Gareth and I went to this talk last year. It was about some sports industry thing, and the head of La Liga was actually there. And he mentioned this, thinking it probably wouldn't happen. If Messi or Ronaldo were to leave La Liga, their product would be something like 20 or 30% poorer.
Wow.
Because especially with the rivalry.
Because of the appeal... Good point. So the rivalry those two have head-to-head, El Clasico is not going to be the same anymore because you haven't got Messi versus Ronaldo. Ronaldo is, I think, the most followed person on social media in sport. He's Forbes' richest sports star. You are taking so much more than the player. You are taking so much more than the brand. You're taking like an empire, a living legacy over to another country. So Italy are going like, cheapest, this is amazing. Juventus obviously have to cough up a whole bunch of cash, so much more than they've ever spent. I mean, this is the fourth biggest transfer of all time. Obviously, PSG, with all their dodgy money from Qatar, they got Mbappe and Neymar for stupid money. And Coutinho was picked up for £142 million by Barcelona.
Let's just be
clear.
This
will be the fourth biggest.
This doesn't mean that they are getting that money.
Players,
they'll make it back in shirts over the course of four years.
One thing at a time here, Gord. Gareth's saying is that that's not Ronaldo's money straight out. He's got a contract, that kind of stuff, yes, but there are so many different factors around this.
Mm-hmm.
George Mendes is always getting rich, that's the first thing.
Yes, he must be loaded.
He's the mega agent. I mean, that guy's more powerful than like most world leaders. Mm-hmm. You get Vlad, you get Xi Jinping, whatever, the Chinese guy, then you get Donald, then you get George Mendes. That's pretty much how the world goes in power.
James Hetfield as well, but yes.
Who's he?
Metallica.
Gorgeous. Seriously, we're going to send you to the corner at some stage. But,
oh, I wish I could have immortalized your facial expression.
It's also a league where he can continue scoring 50 goals a season. You know, it's not that competitive of a league compared to...
I disagree. He'll score anyway.
It's like the PSG players. In the French league. I agree. I love Ronaldo. I'm not saying he won't score
this
anyway.
Guy will
but I'm
score
saying his numbers
in a lesbian
will be
biker
high.
Convention. Everywhere. Yeah, you know, for the last 9 seasons, you know what his worst return of goals is for a season in the last 9 seasons? 33.
Wow.
If Wayne Rooney scored 33 goals once in the season, he was knighted and given a gov job by the Queen herself. I mean, you don't see this happen. 9 years, the guy has been relentlessly impressive and brilliant.
Not taking anything away from him. I'm just saying it's a league. There are leagues where he might score somewhat fewer goals than in Serie A.
Yeah, sure. There's no doubt about that. But he is going to raise the platform of Serie A. Before you know it, everyone else, as Anthea says, a rising tide raises all ships. And everyone's ship in Italy is now going to rise because of this. It's absolutely amazing. I think it's great for the sport because you're also decentralizing the power in European football. So if PSG can somehow hang on to Mbappe and Neymar and maybe get the shit together this year, then you've obviously got La Liga and all their strengths there. Real Madrid will always be decent. You've got England, and then you've got now the Italian Serie A led by Juventus. It's going to be amazing. But who is Real Madrid going to replace him with? This is the thing. If Harry Kane scores one more goal in this tournament, he's going to be worth like 70 trillion euros. And Real Madrid will have to buy it because Real Madrid has to buy
the best guy.
It's like Real Madrid's like the jock in high school. It has to date the prom queen. Real Madrid has to sign the biggest name because that's their brand.
Have the fastest GTI.
Exactly. With the spinners. Mm. So it'll be interesting to see how Real Madrid's going to do this because PSG, no doubt, are going to make so much money. from selling either Mbappe or Neymar. These guys have big buyout clauses, but it has to happen. In other football news of a transfer nature, Riyad Mahrez is going to Man City for their biggest ever transfer. Now, he was meant to go, and Leicester were like, screw that, we're not letting him go. Our team is going to the toilet anyway. We're not losing another great player. But he's going to go to Man City for about £60 million. You know what Leicester paid for Mahrez? £400,000. So they're looking at a profit of in excess of £59 million on one player. Jesus. Tell me that's not a good business, this whole slave industry.
But again, just quickly to revisit the Ronaldo thing again, even though obviously he's taken a lot of wages in the time that he was at Real Madrid, he sold for more than they bought him for, which was the world £88 million United sold him for. And now, what's it, however many years later, they've been paid.
Sold in a profit, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Plus all the Champions League
titles. Inflation and transfers aren't what they were. But still, I mean, haven't Oak ruled the world for you for that long? So how much, what was it, £400,000 versus £60 million?
That's just Mahrez. So that's proper. These players, you know, you think, oh, that's such a waste of money. But these guys make bank for their clubs. They really do. Ashwin Willemse has broken his silence on the whole walkout thing. But in a...
Can you go and do it somewhere credible?
In a complete act of self... Well, I don't know. There's so many own goals in this country. People are so dumb. This loser mentality is so thick. He did it on Eusebius Race Beta Mackay's show. Could you find a worse platform to try and actually have any sort of stake of credibility?
So instead of doing it somewhere credible, he decided to do it somewhere incredible.
I'll just fuck off and show myself out.
Oh, God, that's it. Get out. Right. Get out. I mean, your Metallica thing was bad enough. That was horrendous. Get out.
So he went to speak to Eusebius. And I mean, Eusebius, that's like the softest landing you could get. Like, he should have gone, I don't care whether it's a pop radio show. He could have gone on to a serious television show. He could have gone on with Justice. He could have gone, you know, 1,000 places he could have gone on.
So what was his spiel?
What did he say, Ben?
Just about the whole thing about it was obviously rooted in racism. And SuperSport didn't see that. That's why they're going to the courts and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, Eusebius has got a reputation of being just a vicious race baiter, and his show is one big echo chamber for this, and anybody who calls in will be shouted down unless you agree with him.
I don't know, hey. I doubted Ashwin, and for me his silence was almost traumatizing because I actually wanted him to speak, and the whole time, like, people are speaking on your behalf. Can you come out and say something? And eventually he did, and this man is smart. This man is articulate. He's also just, I think, had enough. If you think about his career, what he's been through personally in terms of just like his personal life, his family life, his father not being there, and also just as being a black man in a rugby space, which is traditionally obviously quite white. And he spoke quite elaborately and articulately about how that's made him the person he
never
is today.
Heard him. I've never heard him being articulate.
I also haven't. I used to laugh at Ashwin. I was like, since when are you this person? Yeah. So this master's worked its magic on him because now he's forming full sentences and doing what? No,
our
guys.
Our standards are so low. Wow.
And I'm just
Ashwin pumps out a full sentence and we go, congratulations.
Well to represent himself. And I'm actually quite pleased that he didn't stand up for himself in the Super Sport thing, but now it's going to the Equality Court and we'll hear for sure what's happening and what went down exactly and what his experiences have been at Super Sport, which I don't think can be discounted.
I wish him all the best at the Equality Court because that's where feelings get thrown away for facts, which is great. That's where we want to get down to in this whole thing. But by choosing this platform to make your first kind of break of silence, clearly with some decent training, as you see, as you just said now, it kind of more out of character. I don't know. It just seems like the lawyers have got him. They're making something out of this, and it looks like out of character. Of course, there was no talk of his actual performance as a pundit on the show. That's not relevant. But Gareth, to give you a basic breakdown, he says that I've been clear to SuperSport that I believe this incident was rooted in racism and their unwillingness to accept that is not my doing. So let's take this to an appropriate forum and let an institution that is there for the purpose of dealing with these matters tell me whether or not I have legitimate reason to feel the pain that I have. That's great. I love that statement. If that holds true, great. But I tell you what, if they don't rule racism, you'll be back on Eusebius' show, and Eusebius will be then damning the whole system because what difference has a court got to say? Yeah, trial, judge, jury, it's racism.
You know what? This fucking stupid talk. I mean, this is a sports commentary show.
South Africa's got such shit sports commentators anyway. They're just bad, regardless of all of this.
Who cares? Like, But sort yourselves out. Grow up, all of you. The whole lot of you.
We just need new commentators. The White Oaks, the Black Oaks, old rugby players who are shit at talking must piss off. I'm not to discount anyone's feelings in this matter. I mean, in soccer, in rugby, South African commentary sucks.
I'm tired of this. We have to cater to everybody's precious broken hearts. Come on. I mean, everybody's had shit in their lives. I'm sorry, yeah. Ashwin hasn't had the toughest time. There have been people who've had tougher times than him. And there have been people who've had much easier than him. Where? Everybody's life is different. Everyone has shit to deal with. Everyone has a tough time. Everyone. And to them, it is the toughest. And if Ashwin was having such a horrible time being paid so much money by Supersport to talk, then he should have quit much earlier.
Yeah, and gone back to other jobs of mining and stuff, which still seems to be doing quite well. Wimbledon. That's a good thing, right? Men's seeds all in action. Federer will take on Anderson today. Raonic versus Isner.
It's our Anderson.
Yes! Yeah.
Well, our Anderson.
How did he do that? That's
Djokovic, Nishikori, Del Potro versus Nadal. But the big talk yesterday was Serena Williams. She was down 6-3 to Giorgi. And then there was this pivotal moment where Giorgi was, she was messing around with her hair, or she was just really pissing Serena off. And there's this glare as she was saying, sorry, hang on a second, don't serve just yet. Serena looked at her with the most evil look, as in, like, bitch, you're going down.
Ooh.
And at that moment,
took her down.
At that moment,
but as an actual superpower, a superhuman, what do they call them? Metahumans. I think I wouldn't be surprised if her glare could actually physically harm you.
But it did.
Because she is fucking
Georgie
from the
yesterday.
Future and she has powers and shit.
She took one look at this chick and she was like, okay, no, that's it. You're done. And then she went on to win 6-3, 6-4 in the second and third set. So she's through. Which is great for the sport, of course, because you need the big names, and there's no bigger than Serena. So she's through the semifinals. She'll take on Georges from Germany.
Yeah.
And on the top side, the top seed, Angelique Kerber, will take on the second biggest seed, the 12th seed, Ostapenko. So, I mean, this is Wimbledon weekend. If you don't drink gin or Pimm's, then maybe start this weekend. A lot of it while watching this on Saturday and Sunday.
Nothing like a big seed.
Okay.
That's enough for your sport today.
That's plenty.
Gord has punned me to death.
Yeah, Gord has interrupted the sport more times this morning
Jeez.
Than any other day.
He's making up for last week.
It's like he wasn't here all of last week.
All right, let's get to Sia. What do you got for us, Sia?
Folks, I think we need a burst of brightness, of happiness, something lighter and brighter as Gord starts to shimmy in the corner.
I'm getting Gord's stomach as he dances now. That was my lighter and brighter.
Yay, let's all feel a bit better, because I think this morning the story is very cute. You know, it doesn't take much to put smiles on people's faces and make people happier. And this is absolute testament. So Gal Gadot, we all know her, right?
Yes.
That's the
Wonder Woman
actress. She's currently filming.
She's beautiful. Jeez.
Okay, calm down.
Oh,
folks.
Wonder Woman.
Stop with your addictions, Gareth. It's not the right time.
See, this is how I'm trying to make the world a happier place. She's currently filming the Wonder Woman sequel. It's called Wonder Woman 1984, in and around the Washington, D.C. area.
I missed the other 1,982 Wonder Woman movies. Whoa.
Whoa,
shit.
Whoa, God, just calm down, please. Thank you. And in the midst of her tough filming schedule, and of course they have long days, and they'll have these lunch breaks, and she has just decided, why not actually share some sort of kindness and make people happier? And so during her lunch breaks, she is going out to different children's hospitals and organizations, all dressed up as Wonder Woman, just to meet with some of the young kids who are suffering ill health and just spreading some kindness, which I think is very, very cute. So she dresses up as a comic character she plays in the blockbuster movies, and most recently she went to the Inova Children's Hospital in Virginia, and there the patients were thrilled, the staff and parents were also thrilled, and they were thanking her just for putting smiles on the little kids' faces. So one woman, Kelly Swink, actually thanked the actress for spending time with her daughter, who is a leukemia patient, and her daughter's currently
currently awaiting a bone marrow transplant and just said, it's such a small thing for you to do, but it really changed my daughter's life. Someone else wrote, a doctor at the hospital said, you are a true Wonder Woman. And just to see these pictures of Gal Gadot all dressed up, meeting the kids, really is a sight to see. So if you're having a bad day, you want to perk up a little, just know that, you know, these are the little things you can do to spread happiness.
Yeah, this would have changed Gord's week last week. Gal Gadot had a rocket next to his bed.
Okay. He was thank you for making it slightly pervy, yes. Babe.
But I mean, aside from being like really beautiful, there's a lot of women who are famous and really, really beautiful. She's just got such a cool energy about her. She's like just is sunshine on legs.
Oh,
I'm a bit in love with her.
Just
a little. That's okay.
Sunshine on all legs, right. You sicko. Okay. And that's just advice here for this
morning.
We're
in sunshine for us.
A lot of sunshine.
Sorry, Poppy.
You are the sunshine.
No,
my
life.
Must not end in singing.
Sing. Start playing his whistle soon.
I need to bring my whistle here.
Yes,
and I also,
I'll bring
by the
tambourine.
Way. I, oh, yeah. And I also bought a major flag, a pride flag. Nice. And I thought I was going to frame it up at home, but perhaps I could hang in a corner here somewhere.
All right.
Yeah, bring it. We need some extra color.
Yeah, bring it on.
This is CliffCentral.com.